Chippewa Valley Technical College on the air here with an update this week from Brent Christensen, the agronomy management instructor at CVTC. I'm Scott Schultz. Good morning, Brent.
Good morning, Scott.
And you have, you call this, what did you call this, 14 seconds of glory from when corn or the crop goes into a combine?
Yeah, so, you know, we have just the short time and that really we don't have to think about anything at all, and it's 14 seconds from the time that the crop enters through that combine till the time something's coming out the back end. And, you know, that's really all the time we can enjoy, and we don't need to be thinking. It's short-lived. But
And when it comes out the back end, what should we be thinking about? Next year, probably, huh?
You know, it's time to start thinking about next year already. As we're driving through the fields, we're in grain trucks, combines, whatever, we're hearing seed commercials already, and it's time to start thinking. But, you know, I always talk to people this time of year about you know, our residue management. And so what's coming out of the back of that combine really, really is going to impact us for next year. And we took students out this past week, and I said, you know, okay, say we windrow this and we don't get a baler or our baler breaks down. What's that going to do to the soil, and what's that going to do for our plant next year? And so not just that, but even just even spreading. You know, we want to check and make sure that if we have our choppers engaged on that combine, that it's doing exactly what it's supposed to, is chopping it, sizing it the way it needs to. Or if we don't, maybe on other crops, that again, how are we going to manage that residue? And so all too often we see that spread patterns are just poor. And, you know, so immediately when we were in the fall of this year, we automatically set ourselves up, you know, a step back from everybody else for the following year. And so a good even spread is something that I really talk to farmers and students a lot about, is make sure it's a good, even, consistent spread throughout the field. And just a good spread pattern. The other thing we want to talk about is make sure we know what's coming out of the back of that. As we are getting into the bulk of corn harvest now, hopefully we're finishing up with those soybeans, but we get into corn harvest, and, you know, depending on our crop rotation, there's corn coming out of the back of that, and it's whole kernels. Guess what? That could be volunteer corn for next year. And so now we start thinking about, okay, if I don't manage that, and I don't get that coming out of the combine, boy, now I have another chemical cost. Maybe that's another pass on a sprayer. And so we start adding up quite quickly, you know, anywhere from $10, $20, $30, $40 an acre just before we even get seed in the ground for next year. And so it's a big challenge there.
Now, the residue spread, do you see it? Is it really apparent to see in a field where there was a little windrowing going on kind of thing? Can you see that in the spring?
Yeah, you absolutely can. In fact, an example, and I have a picture that I show students quite often. There was a field, and the spread pattern covered, let's say, for example, it was a 30-foot head or 30-foot row, and we were only covering about 20 feet of that. And so we left 5 feet on each side. And so what it did the following year, when that plant would emerge, we had really uneven emergence. And so we had essentially four total rows that were, you know, at a disadvantage from the get-go. And they were, you know, they just were out in the open, and they were actually quite a bit taller than those that were buried under some of the residue. And so we set ourselves, you know, at a disadvantage there. But it is very apparent to see in the spring of the year. And it's not something we often, especially in the rush of harvest, we don't often think about. But it makes a big deal. Anything from, you know, soil temperatures in the springtime to, you know, we think longer term, building organic matter in the soil. Boy, you know, we're not going to do that overnight, but it's really going to make a big difference in the long run.
Right. Well, we're a little ahead of the scale of I've always considered, maybe you won't agree with me, but in this part of the world and in the Eau Claire, greater Eau Claire area, with no-till and minimum till, compared with some of the flatter lands over in Clark County, Marathon County, say, and or Wood County. But that residue consciousness really has, where do we know everything there is to know about how much residue and what form of residue is best out on that field?
Boy, that's a loaded question. You know, everyone has a different opinion on that. And so I can't say there's a right way to do that. What I can say is there's some wrong ways to do that. Right. And there's some ways that work better than others. What I tell everybody is find something that works for you. I would agree that, you know, there is some very progressive farmers in our area here, and they're the ones that are looking for cover crops and things like that. So as we think of soil cover going into the winter season, and we look now to the spring melt, boy, crazy to think about already, but when we think to that spring melt, we really want to make sure that we're, you know, eliminating runoff, our wind erosion. If we don't get a lot of snow cover this summer, or excuse me, this winter, you know, that residue can help with some of that. You know, but if we you know, can still get some cover crops in, you know, this time of year and things like that, but it really impacts more than just even the seed next year. We look really is a soil health thing as well.
Right. And soil health, what can be all the problems that you get too much, too heavy of a cover, you have problems, right?
Yeah, I mean, too much of a cover is obviously not a good thing either. And we look at some of the corn, for example, corn yield, you know, it takes a lot of leaves and a lot of stalks and things like that to grow a good corn crop. And so it's tough to manage that. And so, you know, for a no-till person, really we, you know, we need to make sure that the planter, for one, is equipped to handle that. But you know, as we look at residue, a lot of folks will like the vertical tillage, and so we can size it up. That will help with a lot of it. They'll do a fall pass and sometimes again a spring pass. Just size it up so it can start to break down over the winter months, and so that will help with a lot of the management. How much is too much is dependent on a lot of different things in really our operation as a whole.
You know, in the spring, I guess we see a lot of people, and I've done it myself, and you've done it. Mm-hmm. We're walking out in that field pretty much constantly. We're looking at plants coming up. So you're saying get on out there after that 14 seconds of glory.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, as I tell everybody, as nature calls, you know, or we're waiting on a truck, get out of the cab and just do some searching around. See what's actually back there. If you can make adjustments to make it better, it's only going to make life easier in the spring. And we all know that the spring rush is really right around the corner, and so anything we can do to help ourselves out now and help our crop out for next year is just that much better.
Yeah, and thinking ahead that way, it probably shortens winter, doesn't it?
It does, whether or not we want it to. It certainly does. Yeah. It's already time to start thinking about next year.
Okay, we'll be looking ahead. Thanks, Brent Christensen, agronomy management instructor at CVTC. I'm Scott Schultz. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, Scott.